Hi, welcome back to Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Hunt.
And I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
And today we are talking about St. Gunifert.
Yay! The goodest boy!
This is another installment in our entities who people don't actually think of working with, but they're actually really cool to work with.
We desperately need to figure out a better title.
For short, it's Unexpected Entities.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I like it. All right. Finally, we figured this out because
I came up with that by myself.
Thank God, because the other one was very long. Was really long.
So we covered Delilah in our last episode of Unexpected Entities, and we want to know who you want to hear about because both of us are incredibly burnt out and are like, just tell us what to make.
Just tell my tell face us what you want. What you want.
We don't have any energy. We were sitting here like, let's do this episode. And then we both log on and we're like,
we got them winter blues.
It's the winter blues. Maybe it's my seasonal affective making a strong comeback after I was diagnosed with it once in 2015.
Maybe it's my internal exhaustion fueled by my Depresso Espresso, but either way, we're here. We're doing it.
We're doing it. Let's get into St. Gunifert. Can you tell me who St. Gunifert is?
He is the Greyhound Saint. Literally, he is a Greyhound Saint, which, if you are somebody who reads the Bible, you do know that canonically, you can't see it, but big quotes, animals don't have souls, thus can't be saints, according to canon. However, like most uncanon saints, they're way cooler and the rules are out the window and you can do whatever you want.
Folk saints are, for a definition, because I am the saint person in this house, folk saints are when a saint isn't canonically like sainted by the church, but whatever region they're from, there is very heavy very heavy veneration and honoring of them for a particular reason. One example we see a lot is Santa Muerte. Mm-hmm. She is a folk saint. She is not canonized by the church, but she is a saint, and she's a saint that a lot of people venerate. Same with Saint Gunifert, and there are a couple other ones that are specific to region. So folk saints, typically very regional. If you kind of go to a random rural town in France, you'll find Gunifert. But will you find Santa Marta? No.
Yeah. And Gunifert's... Aelita literally loves to speak her mind any single time we talk about Gunifert. I think she knows.
She just did something.
She knows. They know. They
Both
know.
Both of our animals at the exact same time made noises. And I'm like, Gunifert's here.
They know. They know. But yes, his tale begins in France, and when it comes to Gunifert, he has a very interesting story because he is not the saint of animals. He is actually the saint of protecting infants. Let's talk a little bit about the story of Gunifert. All right, the story of Gunifert. A nobleman left his castle one day, entrusting the care of his infant son to his loyal dog, Gunifert. Upon returning home, the man found the cradle upturned, the infant missing, and the greyhound's mouth covered in blood. Assuming that the dog had killed the child, the nobleman drew his sword and slayed Gunifert in a fit of rage. Moments later, the man discovered the baby safe behind the crib and a dead viper that was bloody from a dog bite. Gunifert had risked his life by attacking the poisonous snake, protecting the child from a venomous fate. The nobleman buried Gunifert, piled stones to mark the gravesite, and planted trees in the dog's honor. Legend holds that the dog avenged that god. God and dog are the same thing. Avenged the greyhound's death by destroying the nobleman's castle. And so now he is martyred and he is sanctified by all of the folks around as a protective symbol of infants.
Did you say they burned down the nobleman's house to avenge him?
Yes.
That kind of makes me feel better because I'm upset. When I heard this story, I'm like, wow, he really just saw the dog and with no context clues was like, I'm gonna kill this dog. And that makes me angry. But Guneford is now martyred and sainted, and sometimes I wonder if you can call on him, even if you're not in the region he is from.
Well, since it's usually regional, one of the assumptions, first off, is that, you know, it's not going to be as great if you're not from the region and don't grow up with the whole stories. However, he's Catholic. Like, he comes from Catholic telling. He comes from a Catholic folk group, and that is notoriously open for anybody's belief system. So if you want to get yourself some Guneford love, why not? I don't see why you can't. That is one of the most open religions on the face of the planet. Open practice for all, so...
Here's the thing with Guneford too, is I love the idea of animals being folk saints. The whole idea and the joke, you know, the thing in my family is my mom stopped believing in Catholicism when they told her dogs don't go to heaven. She said, that can't be right. And that's what drove her away from Catholicism. So personally, it warms my heart that there is a saint that is a dog, and especially a greyhound. Have you met those guys? I love them.
Big old dorks.
Tell us more about what working with Guneford looks like. You say he's the saint of, you know, child protection. What does that mean?
So, from what I've read, a few people usually have themselves a little statue of a greyhound that they'll keep near a baby's crib. In order to have Guneford watch over the infant so that nothing can harm that infant. It's like having a protector at all times.
I'm totally doing that if and when I have kids, just because I love that. I love dogs. I love dog saints.
Yes, absolutely. So he's protecting against infants from poison. He's protecting infants from all harm. And also it's this kind of rectification and this like giving back to him for making such a noble sacrifice and just being murdered off for literally no reason.
Fuck that noble though.
That particular like, noble, that? Screw you.
Damn.
Yeah.
He said, no context clues, dog did it.
Exactly.
He didn't even check to find his infant's body. That's
crazy.
He
was just like, you. Like,
I guess back in the day, if you saw someone with blood on their hands, you just assumed there had been a murder.
Every single time I think of the story of Guneford, he literally makes me feel like a white man. No, because it's just this noble who just looks over at a dog and is like, you did this.
This little French white man. Said,
he just looked over. Yeah, you didn't even think about it. And poor Guneford's just like, ah!
Is there any way to honor or venerate Guneford if you don't have kids?
I mean, you could obviously, you know, give thanks and in prayer. One thing that I think a lot of people miss is that prayer is not to God's voicemail necessarily. First off, not a single one of you is contacting the Lord and Savior, all right? The last person who officially got a hold of that man was tried for witchcraft. Looking at you, good old Ark. So in reality, what we're going to have instead is your prayers are going to be lifted to wherever you are sending them. It's basically like making that text message, that phone call, wherever. So you can definitely give a little prayer, or you can go to his shrine in, I think it's France.
I mean, I feel like if you really want to dedicate yourself to Guneford, take a pilgrimage, go to France.
Yeah, let's
go.
That's
like a big thing in folk Catholicism and Catholicism and lots of other religions as well, is that pilgrimage is a sign of your devotion to that saint.
Huh.
There's a fucking truck outside.
Nice. Hello, truck. So I'm actually looking at the greyhoundsaint.com, which, by the way, is like an entire website dedicated to this saint. I just would like for all of you to know. I guess his shrine was burned down, and I'm sure it was replaced eventually. But there's actually, you can read the earliest depiction of Saint Gunifer, which is in De Sur Procession, which is made by Bourbon, who was a Roman Catholic, Stephen of Bourbon. You can read it. I'm assuming a lot of us don't speak French, so you can probably find a English translated version. But indeed, there is an ability to read it, a pilgrimage you can make, or prayers you can give for this saint.
Personally, I do love folk saints because there is no, like, random old white Catholic man telling you how to worship them. Because when I try to talk to, like, Mary, I got a Mary of the Miraculous Metal Amulet. I now get emails every once in a while telling me this is a great way to honor Mary. And it's always from the guy in charge. And I'm like, I don't really need you to tell me how to do this. I've been doing this for thanks. The important thing to keep in mind with folk saints is there are always cultural kind of there, and with a lot of folk saints, there are really strong cultural ties, because a lot of the folk saints and a lot of the people that aren't canonized are people who, in the eyes of the church, wouldn't be of God. So indigenous individuals, people of color, queer people, animals, that's another one. I do believe there is a indigenous folk saint too. I have to look and see what her name is, but I'm not sure.
Off the top of my head, I don't know for sure.
Hold on.
Another thing that people should just be aware of when you are looking at folk saints, if you are ever in contact with a religious nutcase, well, that's my opinion. I guess it's not the strongest opinion to have of someone. However, technically speaking, uncanonized saints, especially animal saints, are considered heresy because they are not canonical. Because again, animals technically don't have souls, according to canon, which is stupid. And also was a law, like, arbitrarily made, I think, in like the late 1500s or something like that. It was just randomly thrown out there at some point. So I think for this this type of series, look into those types of things. Don't even worry about it. Worship what does your practice good. As long as you're not hurting anybody or any culture, you're living your best life. Have at it. Have fun. For me personally, I literally, it gave me a whole new insight into looking at greyhounds and actually looking at saints as a whole, because I was kind of bored with the same apostles over and over and over and over and over.
You can only talk to Joseph so many times.
Exactly. Especially when he doesn't answer well. my friend, I think it's me part on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
She actually started a whole thing about, you know, random saints. And she talked about Gunifer, and I was like, there's a dog saint.
Yep. We love Gunifer in this house.
Right. And then I think the first time I brought it up to Frank, you said Saint Roach? I was like, no.
Saint who?
Not Roach. Christopher. It's
the Francis?
The face of a dog. Saint.
Oh, wait. Maybe that is Saint Roach. Saint Roach. No?
That's the
official. Oh, he's patron. The patron saint of dogs. That's yes. Why I got confused.
Yes. And then I was like, no, it's an actual dog saint. And then we got to see all of these great Gunifer images. It was super cute.
But yeah, that's our little tidbit on Gunifer to give us the second episode of our Unexpected Entities series. If there are unexpected entities that you want to hear about, please let us know on Instagram or Twitter, or send us an email at booksandbroomstickspodcast@gmail.com. Someone will check it in 10 to 12 business days. 30 if you're unlucky.
It's true. I think I've checked it once the entire time we've had it.
check it.
Oh, okay. Our business, our business section, our business sector of Books and Broomsticks will look into it right away.
Oh, this has been stop laughing. Whenever you laugh, our atro sounds really bad.
Maybe it's because we're bad at podcasting.
We won an award. We can't.
We won the award.
This is gonna be a promo piece of like, check out Books and Broomsticks. Stop laughing. God damn it. All right. This has been Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Hunt.
Better Blaze.
We'll talk to you guys next week.